Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Eleven o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day about 18 minutes or so from now. Also during the Chiefs Red half hour, we'll hear what Tyrann Mathieu had to say yesterday with Kay Adams. I think it's something that Chiefs fans will love to hear if you hadn't heard it already. So we'll get into that conversation. In a bigger picture conversation with some of his comments about just maybe where this team is at mindset-wise, and especially on the defensive side of the ball and what they're missing. That's coming up in just a bit. But we do this usually like once a month, once every 2 months throughout the football season. Look, there's five games left, and preseason, everybody has their predictions. They think they got it figured out. We go through division by division. We go through our Super Bowl matchups, our conference title game matchups, and then we check back in, and it's fun to see, one, how unpredictable the NFL is. And by the way, this year seems to be, as we discussed yesterday, so wide open. So let's go through a couple of these real quick and then have a deeper discussion on some of the more interesting ones. We all had the AFC East winner being the Buffalo Bills. We are all
I know.
I know why we picked it. And by the way, if we had to run back the season again, I would probably still, going into the season, I don't think anybody would be able to convince me that I wouldn't have picked them. Like, even if you told me Drake May was going to be, honestly, an MVP candidate, I still might have struggled to pick them. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I'd still be like, it'll probably still be the
so
Bills.
So, it's going to be the Patriots.
0-3.
Yep. All right. AFC North, we all have the Ravens winning. Now, can still happen.
I think that's who's still going to win it.
I don't think it's Pittsburgh, I'll tell you that.
And I don't think it's Cincinnati who's two games back. They take on the Ravens this week? Cincinnati?
Cincinnati's playing Buffalo.
Oh, no, they just beat the Ravens.
Pittsburgh's playing the Ravens.
Play the Ravens after this week.
If I had to re-predict it, I would still pick the Ravens in that division.
Same.
AFC West, we all went with the Chiefs.
Again, had won it every year in a row for like a decade, so there was no reason to think that was going to change. So
AFC
wrong there.
South is fascinating because we know the Colts are no longer leading it. None of us picked the Colts to win the division. I had the Jags winning. You and Drew had the Texans. It is all very much alive in that division.
Yeah, it's all still plausible. It wasn't a stupid pick. I might still very well end up being wrong, and my guess is that if you made me re-choose the division winner now, I wouldn't choose the Texans. I'd probably choose the Jags just because they've got the record advantage. But it wasn't a dumb idea to think the Texans are going to win it. Their defense is for real.
Yeah.
And their real thing is still, why did they trade away all their good offensive linemen before the season started? And they've never been very functional in offense.
Credit to D'Amico Ryan, because it was trending in a really bad direction for them for a while in the middle of the season. And now they're firmly in the wild card conversation. We know the Chiefs need to beat them on Sunday, and they're right there still in the division after a big divisional win against the Colts. If I had to repick, I would still not pick the Colts. Like, before the season, I had no reason to pick the Colts, and I still would not pick them, because yesterday I told you I think they might only win one game the rest of the way. So they play the Jags this Sunday. So I will stick with that. How about the East? Remember, it had been 20 plus years since a repeat champion in the NFC East. We all picked the Eagles. I understand they look terrible offensively. I know the Cowboys are surging. I'll still stick with the Eagles winning the NFC.
Yeah, I feel fine about that. I wouldn't change my answer.
To the Cowboys? I can't.
No, they're playing great football, but the Eagles still have the record advantage and the head-to-head advantage.
I think it'd be tough to switch. But who's the better of the two right now? It's the Cowboys.
Who's the better? Absolutely.
I don't think I'd switch.
How about the NFC West? This division we all kind of knew going in was going to be really competitive.
This one.
Well, you picked the Cardinals. That's not going to happen.
Well, Kyler Murray got hurt. You know, if he had just stayed healthy,
same story with him.
Choice.
Drew, you went with the Rams, obviously, right there, right currently. Very much alive. I went Seattle. Still have a shot. If I had a repick, I would go back to the Rams. My hesitation with the Rams was always, would Stafford stay healthy? He has been. So if I could redo it, I would pick the Rams. Seattle, I guess, still has a shot, and they're going to be a playoff team. But, how about NFC North? We all kind of had a mixed bag here. I guess you and Drew had the Packers still in play. I had the Lions. Or, sorry, Cody had the Lions.
I had the Lions.
Drew and I had the Packers. All are technically alive. I just think the Lions are in a really bad spot tiebreaker-wise to win the division. I would still stick with my Packers bet if I could.
I think...
Would you switch for the Lions?
I mean, the Lions aren't even in the playoffs right now. I can't...
Yeah.
I mean,
who would you pick? Would you pick the Bears and or join us with the Packers?
I think the Bears are going... What's the Bears' schedule?
It's brutal. It is brutal the rest of the way.
Because that inevitably answers my question.
Packers, like Browns, Packers, Niners, Lions.
Ooh. Man. Yeah, honestly, this point, I'll probably just stick with the Lions.
Okay.
I still think they're the most talented.
So you think they're being the Cowboys on Thursday night then?
Yes.
Which makes sense, but that's going to be a tough game. All right, how about the NFC South? All three of us went with the Bucs. They are still the leaders. I know Carolina is making it interesting. I still think when it's all said and done, Baker Mayfield and the Bucs win this division. Anybody switching to the Carolina Panthers?
I had Carolina making the playoffs as a wild card, but I will stick with Tampa.
Which is looking pretty smart on that end, but no. I will stick
with Tampa.
All right, then we had our AFC-NFC title game matchups. let's start with the AFC. I had Bills-Chiefs. While it's not mathematically impossible.
It's actually slightly more possible because they'd be the 6 and 7 seeds most likely.
But I don't,
so they could just both win all their road games.
Again, this requires the Chiefs winning out. You also have Bills-Chiefs.
Yeah.
Drew, Ravens-Bengals, that's not going to happen.
Literally, both can't get in.
Yeah,
so
it cannot happen.
One or the other. Yeah. On the NFC side, all of us are still alive here. Cody, Packers-Lions.
Okay.
Drew, Eagles, Packers, and I had Bucks, Packers. I don't feel as good about my Bucks pick as I did by week four. Week four, I felt amazing about the Bucks pick. Not as much now.
Today, if you had to guess the AFC and NFC championship games,
Patriots definitively, I think, would be my pick to be in the AFC.
Because they'd be the number one seed. I think I would go.
Well, even if they end up with the two behind Denver. I just think they're better than Denver.
I'd go
Patriots. I hate to say this, guys. I was going to say.
Yeah.
Patriots and Bills.
I cannot pick the Bills if Josh Allen's in the playoffs against Trevor Lawrence and guys who have never made starts in the playoffs. He's still in the playoffs better than every quarterback not named Patrick Mahomes. And so, I'd still choose the Bills, but I would be with you. I'd probably choose the Patriots because I think they're going to get the ones.
Who would you go with?
Patriots and Broncos.
Okay.
So you just choose the two teams who makes sense. Best record.
I get it.
Yep. And then on the NFC, I would for sure have the Rams.
Yeah. So I would change. So I have Bucks, Packers. I think I would swap out. I'd take the Bucks out. I just think that all the injuries and stuff. I probably would go Rams. If the math works out, I don't know if it would. I'll go Rams, Packers, but I don't know if it's possible.
Like if the seeding lines up.
Yeah.
I guess I would go. I'm just trying to think. I can't. Not the Bears, right? I mean, I can't just.
Well, I mean, my issue with the Bears is I still don't think Kayla Williams is playing great football, and you might like, that's an optimistic way. As I said with Ben Johnson, like, he hasn't even got Kayla Williams going yet and they're winning, which is a great sign. But at the same time, I don't think the Bears can just win with running the football with Menungai and Swift throughout the entire postseason. Kayla Williams is going to have to make big plays, and I still think at times he doesn't. So that'd be my only hesitation on Chicago. And then, as even Michael Massey pointed out, their defense, they're really opportunistic, forcing turnovers, which is great. But as you guys know, that's something in the playoffs can just go away magically.
Yeah, it's way, 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 way harder to get those in the playoffs. So I don't know. I guess I'd go Lions, since I think they're going to the playoffs anyway. So at least I would hold them somewhere in there. But yeah, I'm not saying with any kind of confidence that I'd feel really good about it. But that one's a little bit tougher. The Rams is the only one that you and I, and this is, at least give us a small bit of credit, even though we chose wrong. You and I had an open conversation that said, if you could tell me right now for sure that Matt Stafford is healthy, I would choose the Rams to win that division and I would have them go pretty far.
Yeah,
the mistake we made was all that back spasm stuff and him being a million years old by quarterback standards or whatever, I just thought
it
would get
me off.
I just thought it would get him.
I like Seattle. I mean, they still have a chance, and so I still don't hate that.
They're really bad, you know,
that pick, but I don't think they're going to end up getting there when it's all said and done. All right, so that's just a look. It's always fun to see some of the predictions. Some of them are way off, and we'll check in, of course, right when we get to the playoffs to see if any of us actually got some of these predictions correct. All right, we didn't get to this yesterday. We ran out of time a little bit, but I want to talk about Eli Drinkwitz and Mizzou. While we were discussing Lane Kiffin, you know, we were making the point that that's a really, really unique situation, what just happened with a national title contender going to LSU as a head coach, Lane Kiffin, LSU. Eli Drinkwitz, his name, of course, was brought up with some of these jobs. And I don't know if you guys agree, based on who ended up getting hired at Florida and stuff, if Eli Drinkwitz, in my opinion, wanted to leave Mizzou, I think Florida or Penn State would have hired him. I don't know if you disagree with that point. I think if he wanted to leave, they would have hired him.
I think he removed himself from the Penn State conversation.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
he's just saying we think he could have gotten the Florida job if he wanted the Florida.
Based on who was out there and who ended up getting the Florida job, and then also unknown still with the Penn State job, although there's reports that BYU's coach Kalani Sitake is a candidate. We can get into that later. But Eli Drinkwitz gets a big extension. And Drew, you had made, I'll give you credit on this. We don't agree on much, but I'll give you credit on this from a couple months ago where you had mentioned that, look, if the NIL budget's going to be right and they're going to pay you like a top 10 coach, why do you need to leave? And I think unless we're talking about like LSU, Ohio State, and
Alabama,
Michigan, then that is kind of what happened here with Eli Drinkwitz, you think?
Yeah, him and Clark Lea, I think, are very similar in terms of how these things have kind of gone. Clark Lea, the coach at Vandy, just signed an extension too. I think they're very similar where they're having success in their element, what they're doing. Of course, Clark Lea is an alum of Vandy, so it's a little bit different. But from the standpoint of they're in the SEC, they're not a part of that quote-unquote big boy group with Bama, Georgia, et cetera. But they've gotten their teams in the mix where they're in the playoff conversation the last few years. And if you can have that, also you guarantee more job security, I think, at those places because you're avoiding the pressure at being at a place like Florida or even Penn State or LSU or wherever that is. Why not stay at where you're at?
So I actually understand it more from Drinkwitz's standpoint than Missouri's. Because like Missouri, if you're going to pay him that amount, you're going to give him that amount of NIL, you're going to let him pay his assistants that amount, you're going to pay him that amount. What does he have to do to like make it worth it?
Well, that's a good question for
his ass better get in the college football playoff.
Well, that's a good question.
If you're going to pay him that amount of money.
Ask the text line. If you're a Missouri alum or a Missouri fan, that's a great question. 913-586-7965. What do you guys think, given now the resources he is going to continue to have,
his salary and all that,
let's just say over the next 5 years, just to make
it
simple.
Whatever the contract is.
Over the next 5 years, what does that look like? Is it one CFP berth, but he's still winning on average, 10 games a year? What's that look like? For me, just based off the resources and the salary, I think over the next 5 years, at minimum, he needs to make one CFP. And then I think he needs to be in a New Year's Six Bowl two of the other or three of the other seasons. You could say that's crazy, but those are the expectations I think that should come with the resources and the success they've had in recruiting as well. I don't think, he's got to go win a title or get to a national semifinal.
It's still Missouri football versus some other
getting in the dance, I think, is a very fair expectation.
There are 12 teams and he's one of the highest paid coaches in the SEC.
It's also going to expand again.
That's what we think.
We think. And over the next 5 years, at some point, it's going to.
But yeah, I'd say he needs to make one of them because I think the hard part about this, though, is that he's in the SEC and the conference is so good that, we're going to see, Vanderbilt might not even make it, and they're at 10-2.
And Pavia is now the Heisman favorite that updated today.
Yeah, I think, the concept of a 10-2 team, because previously, if you were 9-3, you didn't make it. If you were 10-2, you did. This year is a little bit different now, where we might have 10-2 teams missing the college football playoff, and I think that's...
Texas gets in over Vandy, it'll be ridiculous.
Well, I mean, in fairness, Texas beat Vandy.
I think
it's not just head-to-head.
I understand that, but I think if we're talking Texas compared to Vandy, I think Texas gets in over Vandy. Texas will be ranked.
I think that's what would happen. I think it's ridiculous, but I think
Texas will be ranked higher than Vandy because Vandy had a soft out-of-conference schedule. Texas, in fairness to them, they did lose, but they played Ohio State. They lost close, and they beat Vandy straight up, which is the same argument with Miami and Notre Dame.
Do you think, going back to obviously the Missouri part of this, do you think, with what you were saying about the difficulty SEC, on one hand, though, it allows you, though, if you're Eli Drinkwitz, nobody's saying you got to have a perfect season. Nobody's saying you have to have a one-loss season.
I think it's fair to make it to one college football playoff over the next 6 years. And if he doesn't do it, then they'll probably move on because those are the expectations. I think they're fair. I do think, though, we also have to you can explain why you wouldn't make a college football playoff because of the conference they're in, the amount of talent in the conference, the coaches in the conference. It'll be hard for Missouri to make it to a college football playoff, but I think them making it is part of what this extension expects. And if he doesn't do it, then I think there's
grounds to move on and they're done. Isn't this the issue I could probably say with a lot of programs would be like, because he's recruiting at an extremely high level. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Figuring out the quarterback position is still, right? Like, but that is still the biggest thing holding them back, right?
Throughout
these years, as good as Bo Prabula looked early on in the year, and I understand he got hurt, but if we're being honest, I still think we go back to the early portion of the schedule. Some of the teams that, while the schedule ended up being one of the tougher schedules in the country, the first 5 or 6 weeks, it was not.
Mm-hmm.
It was simply not one of the toughest.
Yeah.
The competition got tougher, and even prior to the injury, some of the Bo Prabula's
stat lines were hyped up a little.
His issue of attacking down the field, some of that was him, some of it, they didn't have weapons down the field. Those were two things that were glaring. Those were glaring this year.
Going back a little bit to the Florida, the Vanderbilt thing with Texas and all that other stuff, just one other point, and it was pointed out on YouTube, which is great, by Brent, which is, I hate that the college football players are like, well, they beat them straight up. Yeah, but they lost to Florida. Texas lost to Florida with three wins.
Which is
losing to Texas is a better loss for, you know, them than it is losing to Florida, a bad football team.
Which is why Texas to me is not a college football. I don't think they're in the conversation, to be honest with you, or should be, because they lost that game to Florida. And it's just
people are trying to make them. And by people,
I agree.
You know, I mentioned the network, ESPN, who has a huge say in this, whether we believe they do or not, in terms of setting the narrative. And I understand why Sarkisian's promoting Texas being in, but I hate, we're not changing any rules because there's no rule that says you can't get in as a 3-loss team. But at the same time, I feel like we're certainly seemingly changing narratives to fit why Texas should get in.
I agree. And that's the thing, is that they lose that game to Florida. Same thing last year kind of happened to Ole Miss. Ole Miss lost to Kentucky. Bad loss. They missed the playoff, and it really was because of that one loss. And I think that's the same thing. Obviously, Texas's schedule was a little bit more difficult, but if you look at from the standpoint of they lost to a bad team and it got them to 3 losses and kept them out, this is the exact same storyline as what Ole Miss had last year.
Now, where I will defend Texas, and I think this is just the reality of what we've created in college football, because Texas will argue, well, would you rather of us not scheduled Ohio State? Would we get the benefit? And I would say, from a fan perspective, no, but the reality is if I'm Texas or any other school, this is why, you know, I don't schedule Ohio State there early on. Like, it sucks for the fan, because if they would have scheduled, you know, I don't know, Tulsa or something instead, then they're a 2-loss team. And even with the Florida loss, they're in.
Just don't lose to Florida.
No,
Ohio State's not your problem.
I agree, but the argument is going to be made by coaches now, and when they're going through, and ADs are going to say, well, then why are we even scheduling that game?
The reason why is because them scheduling Ohio State, it lets them have an opportunity to lose a game to Florida. But you got to beat Ohio State.
Right.
But they lost both games, where I think if they would have beaten Ohio State and lost to Florida, them scheduling Ohio State would help them get in. Where
agreed.
If they didn't schedule Ohio State and they still lost to Florida, as I said, with this year, we're seeing 10-2. Vandy, their worst loss is better than, they would be ahead of Texas from the standpoint of worst loss perspective. But there's so many other things that go into it, of course.
New CFP rankings out tonight, by the way. All right, we go to Kuwait.
That's a first for trash of the day, I think.
I think so.
I don't want to say for sure, but
Kuwait. All right, so there was a man that was working in the Citizen Service Department. I don't know what the equivalent is, but the Citizen Service Department. He didn't show up or do any work for a decade. His paycheck kept coming and was deposited into his bank account every month.
Nice.
So along with prison time, he has to pay back the $339,000 salary collected. He's been ordered to pay a fine of over $1 million for collecting a salary for 10 years without going to work.
I always
for a whole decade. Who in payroll did not find out that, you know what? I don't know what this guy's name was. He wasn't showing up to work for a decade. And
in a weird way, I always like, not every story of these, but in some of these, this is the company's fault. This man shouldn't have to go to jail for this. They kept paying him. Just because I'm not, if Odyssey keeps paying me and I just never do a radio show again, that's on them. you're getting what you pay for. I'm not showing up. Fire me.
But this falls into the same category as the bank thing, I think, Cody. I know
I
you view it differently.
If they paid you like $8 an hour instead of $80 an hour. Like, that's different. But if you're not paying attention, I'm not doing the job.
The
you
fact
know?
That it was a decade is crazy. But it's the same thing. If I go to the ATM today and I try to pull out $100, but they give me $10,000, it can't just be like, well, your mistake. All good. That's just not how it works.
I understand. But like this to me, it's like the man worked in the Citizen Service Department, but didn't show up or do any work. So he was employed by the company. People get different amounts of work out of employees. Some people are lazy.
But he worked zero.
Some people show up later.
Zero.
Some people don't do as much. And we've all worked in places like that. They could have fired him just because they weren't getting the amount of work out of him.
A logistical mistake for a decade. I'm not saying like you might want to double check how you're running your business or your department, but you just, that's not how you can't, you know. If all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Cody, you started receiving Social Security checks at age 40, you can't be like, well, shucks.
No, I think that's a little different. I think this guy was hired as a person. He just didn't do his job. I think lots of people aren't good at doing their job. This guy was just better at not doing it than most.
Wow.
As in, he got away with not doing the job at all for a decade.
Mm-hmm. You know? He knew he shouldn't have been getting paid. This isn't like, you know, they accidentally gave him a one-time bonus of $500. I'm like, all right,
actually, in a weird way, I feel like that one would make more sense to be like, hey, man, they can't just, like, keep that money.
Someone says
terrible ethics.
What is, someone says, so someone gave you $1,000 out of the kindness of their heart, and they call the cops and say that you robbed them, you should go to jail. What a ludicrous comparison. I'm sorry. Like, what a ludicrous comparison.
I'm not sure those are apples to apples.
Like, what? I'm sorry. I don't think that's an apt comparison at all.
Someone over in the text line says that it's not his fault. Just promote him. He's management material.
Cody, no wonder why you cut in front of old people and kids, someone says.
I'm not. Again, I have worked at places. Nobody works at a place in which if everyone's paid equally, everyone does the equal amount of work. This man was just better at doing less work than everyone, apparently, by not going to work at all. I guess what was his job? Did it say?
No.
It just said, yeah.
He just worked for let me look this up. Kuwait Citizen Service Department. What is that?
Like, what was he supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
You know? That is part of my question. Like, was he hurting people actively by not doing his job?
The Citizen Service Department can refer to several government entities. Public Authority for Civil Information, responsible for civil ID and address inquiries. Other departments could include the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. I don't know. It sounds like he was working in, like, I don't know.
Like a government office.
Yeah, I don't know, the DMV or something. I don't know. Like,
but here's, I mean, again, this is the part that I don't think, this is the part that I don't think should make sense. Like, if I worked at the DMV, I went and got a job, and I just never showed up for work, and they kept paying me, but they hired me. And they're like, they kept putting me on the schedule, and I just never showed up, and they kept paying me. I don't know if that's on me.
I just,
you
know.
You should have ended this payroll a long time ago. So
someone says, kind of like working in sports radio, stealing money. There's days where it feels like it.
Yeah,
there's
no doubt.
Certainly days, you know, that this we get paid to talk sports. It is pretty amazing. It is pretty amazing. That is the trash of the day. Up next, we get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Tyrann Mathieu still calls KC home a good chunk of the year. He was in Kansas City yesterday for FanDuel's sportsbook launch, and he was talking with Kay Adams. You want to hear what he had to say? I think Chiefs fans will love it, but it kind of gets to a deeper point about this defense. We'll explain what that is next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or dsw.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Real quick, we were talking about this earlier in the show. It just came out 2 minutes ago. A statement from Bill Self on Darren Peterson's availability for tonight's big top 25 matchup at Allen Fieldhouse against UConn. Darren Peterson not going to play tonight. Bill Self saying in a statement that was put out, he's very close. He has worked his butt off, but he is still not 100%. He is day to day. So big time bummer there. But I was still saying, I know maybe people like, I'm not saying you should like it, but if it is true, if it is true that he is close and that he's not 100% yet, then I'm still fine with this. As I said over and over, that they need him 100% for the most important part of the season, which is conference play into the NCAA tournament. So yeah, I would love for him to play tonight, and it sucks that he's not going to. And I would love him to play Sunday against Mizzou, and I hope he does. If he's actually really, really close, then I'm guessing he will. But if he's not 100%, he should not be playing basketball at this point. For him, his own long-term career, and also for Candace's long-term, as in 2025-2026 success this season. So it sucks that it's not going to happen tonight, but if he's not 100%, he's not 100%, Cody.
Yeah, we'll talk more about it, obviously, in the noon hour, but I 100% agree with you. I mean, genuinely speaking, even if he's 95%, if the extra 5% comes on Sunday, why would you risk it? He's just too important a player for Kansas, and they're coming off a really down year, so you got to figure it out outside of there. But yeah, that stinks. No Darren Peterson tonight. No. Were you going to head to Allen Fieldhouse to watch him?
Tonight? No, the game doesn't start till 8 on a Tuesday night.
Too late for you?
On a Tuesday with work and driving back from Lawrence, yeah.
Well, what time would you get home, you know?
Midnight, probably.
Post-game traffic, midnight? Yeah. Come on, you don't have kids. You got to get ready for school.
I'll say this the same thing with you and Karen. Are you offering me tickets? Are you buying my tickets? Are you offering me tickets?
I don't have a ticket for you. I just thought you might want to go see.
The same thing applies. If you have free tickets, then that
really? A good friend of mine is a big UConn fan. I bet he'll be at the game tonight. So if he gets an extra, I'll let you know.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
I bet, yeah. I'll let you know. Will you go if I get you a free ticket?
Without Darren Peterson playing, less likely.
I'm just asking. Like, I don't want to get you this free ticket and then out you don't want it.
At this point, I would rather go see KUMU on Sunday at T-Mobile. The problem is that game starts during NFL Sunday.
Yeah, right at noon. Although the Chiefs don't play till that night, so you can take one break away from it. Those tickets are not going down in price.
Really?
It appears. No. Seems like people still want to go watch KUMU.
Well, I watched
Sprint Center when they did that.
There's real. Hey, you see the text line. Anytime we talk about the stadium stuff, the KUMU border war, all that's very real.
We talked Kansas basketball earlier, and the text line said, what are you, just a bunch of Jayhawk homers? Can't even talk about Missouri. They played basketball tonight. And then we talked Missouri's football program.
For 12 minutes, 15 minutes.
Because they're the more interesting program. And there were some Kansas fans and K-State fans who did not.
This is the beautiful thing about straddling the state line and being in the KC Metro, man. We got great fan bases across the board for a variety of programs. All right, let's talk some Chiefs football, though. It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Tyrann Mathieu was in Kansas City yesterday. He was on with Kay Adams over on FanDuel TV. They were going through the launch day of Missouri sports wagering and everything. And
sure.
I think some quotes went out there. He said multiple things that I thought were interesting, but what got some fans excited was what Tyrann Mathieu had to say when he was asked about, hey, would you come back to play for the Chiefs?
Can you come back?
I mean, I'm like not going to say no. I won't say no.
Are we walking down to Brett's office after this? I'm not kidding.
I mean,
are you going to go visit them today? Yes.
Yeah, probably. Mm. And I've stayed in contact with, obviously Brett and, but mostly, Coach Reed. His grandson actually plays on the football team with
my son. I know.
So, it's the family,
We had Tyrann Mathieu on the show, late September maybe it was. And
something like that.
We were on remote at Rally House that day. I'm just trying to remember what day. I just remember the conversation, and we were talking to him about the defense at the time, and we asked him about retirement and all that, and long term he wants to get into coaching and everything. But at the time, remember, he's under contract if he NFL, like, he's not officially retired. Does that make sense? Like, you're not fully retired in the NFL. And so his rights, I guess, are with the Saints and all that. Like, he's not going to play football for the Chiefs. It's a fun conversation to have. But what I think is more of what came to mind for me, his mindset, though, his attitude, that part is something they absolutely miss on this football team. Not even close. Like, take away just on-field performance for a second, and the realistic possibility, and to me it's unrealistic that he would join this team now or something.
Yeah.
The attitude part of it, though, alone is kind of worth it. They miss the little bit
of dog.
Absolutely.
They don't have that dog in them.
Who's that guy?
I actually weirdly don't disagree.
Who's that guy on defense or on the team right now, other than Kelsey on the entire team and Mahomes?
But I mean, the only answer would be like Chenault, I guess.
With all due respect to him.
But he doesn't play enough.
Yeah.
I was going to try to disagree with it, but in so many ways,
it's not
missing
the play.
Bite.
Yeah.
They are missing the Dan Sorensen, Tyrann Mathieu. They need a person who will use their body like a missile in an effort to make one big stop at one big moment. You heard Massey earlier. They're giving up third downs at 43% clip. Teams would be thrilled at that for a season-long percentage. They can't get off the field. Typically, to get off the field, guys, are the guys that just launch themselves up against some defensive lineman, up against some running back, to knock some pass away, to make some big hit over the middle. They don't have that. They are not a tough defense.
That's
what
I'm saying.
Last year they felt tougher.
You mean like an enforcer type of...
Yeah.
Some real attitude, we are going to smack the bleep out of you kind of defense. You know what I mean? Like, who is that? Where's that attitude coming from? And by the way, we're not suggesting this just fixes all the problems. And I am not... Like, Tyrann Mathieu's not coming back to play for the Chiefs, but I do think they've got me thinking about just the attitude aspect of it and what they miss there. And then he also did talk about what the Chiefs do need, in his opinion, though, to add roster wise.
Let's say it's not their year. What is one change that you'd like to see this team make for next year?
One change I would like to see them make for next year. Man, I feel like they got so many holes. I would really like for them to get a running back.
Get me started on this.
That can really...
What does that prompter say?
Really take, that pressure off of Mahomes,
Breece Hall.
I think they need a real running back. I thought they were going to get him.
We've had the running back conversation. Nobody on this show disagrees about how they handled the running back spot in the offseason and how we didn't like it, plain and simple. I also admit, I still, to this day, even though we've seen what's played out, I did not want them giving up a third-round pick for Breece Hall. I still stand by that, and knowing the extension. By the way, they can still get Breece Hall in the offseason if they want, if they really want to invest that kind of money. Otherwise, they can draft one. But that's not like Breece Hall.
Yeah, he'll be a free agent.
As Tyrann said, I think there's actually quite a few holes on the roster looking ahead.
The way he said that was kind of damning. He was like, oof.
Well, I think it's
a lot of problems there.
It's more damning because he's saying it, but I think because he's got the knowledge, but I think everybody's acknowledged that this offseason, whether they go on a run to make the playoffs or not, there are massive changes that are needed with the roster.
I just think that, that happens when you have sustained success for 8 straight years. Again, every single year they go to the AFC Championship game. More than half the time, three quarters of the time, they go to the Super Bowl, and you have to pay guys, and there's a lot going on in a roster that's aging and good enough to get to a Super Bowl every year. There was going to come a reckoning at some point. We all knew that. I just didn't think it was this year because this year's roster so closely resembles what last year's roster was. I didn't think it would happen so quick. And to his point, it's like, yeah, they need help on the defensive line, parts of the offensive line, running back. All their wide receivers, except for Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice, are free agents.
Yeah.
Nobody else is resuming on this team. They might need a new tight end. So finally getting rid of their Hall of Fame tight end. Plus, not to mention linebacker, defensive line, defensive back. They do have holes kind of everywhere. There's no doubt about it. And there's going to be a lot to do. But Tyrann Mathieu's not going to solve that. But I'm with you in the sense that both on offense and on defense, it's a weird thing to describe, but they lack killers. They need one or two more killers. Tyreek Hill was like that, man. And Travis Kelce's been like that his entire career. And Patrick Mahomes. And I do think like L'Jarius Sneed or Tyrann Mathieu and some of these other guys were just out there for blood sometimes. And they lack that, I think, on both sides of the ball right now. Because Kelce can only be that so much considering what stage of his career is in. And other than Mahomes, they don't seem like they got that guy who does that every snap for them. Unless for a while we were talking about Trey Smith or maybe one of the offensive lineman guys, but that's not the kind of players we're talking about. Takeover guys. They need a takeover guy. That's all. Somebody mentioned Sneed. I was like, yeah, man, he was another guy that just loved beating people up at the offensive or on the line of scrimmage just to do it.
Yeah, so on this texter and the name I agree with, I think for different reason, though. Someone said Justin Reed was a bigger loss than we thought. I agree with that statement. I don't think it's the same, like, you know, the killer instinct part of it. I just think Justin Reed, as much as people would get frustrated at times, one, you knew everybody was going to do their job when Justin Reed was back there.
Uh-huh.
And you know people were going to be in the right spots. He also was just one of the smartest football players I think you'll find. And Tyrann Mathieu was a lot like that as well.
Very much so.
And that doesn't mean that these younger guys can't grow. And you and I think Jaden Hicks should be playing more and things like that. But they don't, I think, have somebody in the secondary. And Trent McDuffie's awesome. But he, you know, I'm not saying he can't be a leader, but he's not as vocal as some of the other guys. He's just not.
No.
He's just not. That's not how he operates.
And I look, the tech over on Twitch, Agent was pointing out something I think we know that we don't want to acknowledge as much with this team, which is they're probably also tired.
They've played in three
straight Super Bowls.
Yep.
They've had to play a lot of football the last few years. Probably a little beat up, feeling a little tired. And that like energy we talk about, that like ruthless, I'm going to come after and get you. Maybe they do have some guys in this team that still used to do that, but don't do that the same way. Like we think Chris Jones' effort, not the last couple of weeks, but on aggregate on the season has not been the normal level of Chris Jones' effort we're accustomed to seeing. Man, it's probably tired. And I'm not saying it's a good excuse because of where your team is and how desperate you are, but yeah, I'm sure that that's a fact.
Playing 20 games a year. Yeah, I mean, it's as we've gone through this for weeks now, there's never one answer for how they got to this point in time. There's 10 different reasons easily. But I do think if we're doing a pie chart, what you just brought up and what we've discussed earlier in the season is definitely part of the equation, playing 20 games a year.
Is Justin Reed even on a roster, though?
And by the way, someone's saying they rest up during the offseason. I don't think that's the... yes, it sounds like, oh, they got 3 months off, but they are having a longer football season than everybody else over the last 5 years. That's just a fact. Like,
yeah, I mean, yes, they played an additional 10 games versus any
team. They get March, April, and May off, but like that is not as... it is. And by the way, only part of May, you already start minicamp. It's not... I'm not asking for you to feel sorry for them, but... suggesting that the team that's done January 10th has the same wear and tear on their bodies as a team that's playing until mid-February every year is not... I don't think that's the same thing. That's all.
No, I don't. Every team, every person who's been around football will tell you, I mean, 10 additional games, I mean, you are talking about a... massive.
It's part of the equation. It is not, by no means, it's not the real. It is part of the equation, though. 913-586-7965. Someone was asking, have we seen the pizza review? Yeah, Dave Portnoy. He is in town, yes. He's doing the one bite review stuff in Kansas City. Do you see him went to Pizza Tassio? That was the first stop. I think he's going to a couple different places in Kansas City. He was promoting DraftKings and the launch of Sports Wagering in Missouri and everything. So he went to, there was a video, I think he did Sunday night. It came out yesterday, but I think he did a video Sunday night. And he went to Pizza Tassio. I don't know what other KC pizza places
he's going
to. Bobby
gave a suggestion. I don't know if you guys saw that. He said Mincy's. Bobby made that suggestion.
Who's Bobby?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Is that like one of his boys?
Bobby Witt Jr.?
But you just said Bobby.
The way you said Bobby, I thought it was like connected to Point. I just got confused.
I was waiting for you to say Bobby.
That's fair. I was like, wait, which Bobby?
I got you.
The only one that we know. But yeah,
I don't know if you're talking about Bob Fesco, you know, Bobby, or your Uncle Bobby.
No way.
When was the last time Bob went by Bobby?
No way.
Little kid. I told you, man, I had one of the more uncomfortable adult interactions I had once because it just felt so weird when he said it was. So my childhood best friend, his name was Chad, and his brother was Mikey. And we hung out a bunch in childhood. His brother was similar to my brother's. Chad, Mikey. Mikey the whole time. And I ran into him like as adults. And he was like, hey, I was like, Mikey, I haven't seen you so long. He's like, I go by Mike. And I was like, ah, I don't know, Mikey. Like, that, I've known you my whole life as one thing. And now I got to switch. And it makes sense. He's an adult. He probably doesn't want to go by Mikey anymore. I was just like, oh, man, my bad, dude. It's tough. I don't think Bob's gone by Bobby since he was ever. Do you think he's ever gone by him? You know him better than us.
Yeah, but I mean, this would have been, like you said, in his childhood or something.
I had to ask him. There's you never went by anything other than Alex.
Yeah, that's it. In high school, people would call me Goldie.
So they'd add a Y sound to it.
Like one of my good friends still will call me Goldie. Yeah, from high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not just your last name, but your last name with the Y sound at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's all a different part of the game. Either way, Tyrann Mathieu's not coming back, and they need dudes. I mean, that part of it.
And I guess there's a bunch of pizza reviews happening in Kansas City at the same time.
And there's pizza reviews happening. Let's talk more about the offensive line, because we mentioned the dogs and all the other stuff. Look, I think Creed and Trey are really good offensive linemen, especially when Trey is healthy. They bullied some people earlier this year and have done a nice job there. I was trying to spend my time evaluating Josh Simmonger, and I don't really know how to do it. Earlier, the text line said I'm an idiot for calling him injury prone. I said he's not injury prone yet. But I don't understand why, if he got hurt next year, why he wouldn't be. Like, no offense. I mean, you can call it freak or whatever you want. If you had a devastating knee injury, then get hurt at the end of this year, hurt next year.
I think people just take issue with, like, proactively, like, already, like, trying
deciding
to.
Yeah,
I think that's where people.
I think a lot.
I don't think he's injury prone at all. And I told you, I think it's a weird rookie season for Josh Simmons. No doubt. It's been a bizarre one. Go back to draft night. Everybody was not thinking he'd even be available to start the season. Turns out he was. When he's been on the field, Josh Simmons has been really, really good. He's looked like the guy you hoped you drafted if you were Brett Veach. But then he had the month-long absence for personal reasons. Still don't know, obviously, what that is, if that's something that would happen again or not. Hopefully not. And then now he's got a fractured wrist, dislocated wrist that's likely going to keep him out for the rest of the season. So that's why it's a complicated rookie year.
Just feels like an incomplete grade, essentially. I can't give it a grade.
I'm just saying from a football end, I'm as confident as ever about his ability. I think you are, too.
He can be an all-pro left tackle.
Right.
From a talent perspective.
The wrist injury, he will fully recover from that. I guess what I'm saying is, if I would be more worried, like it sounds like you're a little worried, if it was a lower body injury. If you told me he had now a leg injury or a knee injury, something like that, fractured wrist, it sucks for this year, for this team getting set to take on the Houston Texans. But bigger picture, by the time we get to training camp, this wrist injury won't be an issue at all. So my worry would only be the off-the-field thing, if that ever became a problem again, whatever that was. From a otherwise health problem, the knee has looked completely fine. In a wrist injury, bleep happens is the way I view it right now.
Sure. And yeah, for sure the bigger unknown is whatever kept him away from the field this year, something that can keep him away from the field again. And that is something, because we don't know what kept him away from the field, something we won't be able to answer until that is either discussed publicly or he goes a few years without it coming up. I don't know like how long it'll take you, Gold, but probably a couple of years. He'll need to go next year and the year after without missing time for a similar reason. Is he missed time this year? They'll be like, all right, that's behind him. Whatever was happening there is not coming back up. And we don't have to worry about it anymore. We don't have to discuss it anymore as a reason for why he might stay away. Would you give him a letter grade? I genuinely think I would just grade it incomplete. I don't know.
He's only going to play 8 games this year. So, yeah, I mean, that's...
Like, grade the pick by the Chiefs. We've done this with Felix Anudike Uzama, Trent McDuffie, George Karloftis. How would you grade last year's first round pick? It's like, that's the problem.
If you're asking me, I feel great about the pick still. Like I really do. I mean, I think they nailed the pick. The issue, it's so hard to answer only because we don't know. And by the way, I hope it's something that never pops up again. I hope it was a point in his life or whatever, family's life, that hopefully never, you know, comes up again, whatever that was. Again, it's so difficult to have this conversation without knowing exactly what that was.
Agreed. I understand.
So let's assume it's not something that
then comes, it's an A.
Then I'm not worried at all about him moving forward.
It's weird, because yeah, if I just say that's never coming up again, then it's an A. And then I look back through, and it just depends, because they've had such mixed results since 2020. Like, first, they've had 3 years where they just haven't had a first round pick. So I'm just saying, since Patrick Mahomes, they've only selected 6 players in the first round. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, bust. Trent McDuffie, great pick. Guy's a, you know, Pro Bowl caliber starting cornerback in the NFL. George Karlaftis, I would say that's a good pick. Maybe it's not as big of a pick as Trent McDuffie, but that's a starting defensive end in the NFL who's good for 8 sacks a year. Felix Anudike-Uzomah, bust. Xavier Worthy, unknown. Might end up being an okay pick, but he's going to have to do a lot more to justify the first round moniker he had before. Might have been overdrafted, depending on what he does over the next few years. We don't know yet. He's kind of an unknown at the moment. And then Josh Simmons is an unknown, unless he plays the rest of his career, in which it's a home run.
I hate this pick, actually.
Yeah, Bink really didn't like the Josh Simmons thing. It's weird to evaluate that pick in particular.
Don't like it.
You guys should have, by the way, you guys should have heard him on Friday. I almost wish you guys were here.
Why? What happened?
I filled in with him a couple times.
It felt like it was on another level.
Was he mad?
So Mac and I co-hosted from 8 to 11. He got here at like 9 or 9:30. He just busts through the door and is like, Drew, I got to talk to you. He goes, the Chiefs are pissing me off. We're in the middle of a break. I'm like, Bink, we're coming back here shortly. He's like, oh no, he's like, I got so much to say about this team.
Oh, he was texting me quite a bit.
He was on one.
Pick, actually.
He was on one. I don't know if he still feels that way about the Josh Simmons pick, but
what's weird is if you gave a grade for this year's draft based on production, it's an F. F. They got 8 games out of their first round pick. None out of one of their second round picks. Barely any out of one of their other second round picks.
I will say,
Ash and Gelati. Yeah. Noah Williams can't get on the field. It's like, based on this year's draft selections, they got like a D-.
That still makes no sense, by the way.
There's a long
The Noah Williams part?
Yes, yeah, makes I know. Absolutely no
sense. I'll say this. We had a conversation with Nate Saylor, and he'll join us in about an hour anyway, and we can ask the same question again. I remember, Cody, you'll remember this. We were in St. Joe for training camp. And I know the days run together, but it was one of the days where Nate Taylor was with us.
I can't track any of those.
And we were talking about this draft class going into in camp. And what did we say? And I still think this is true, despite what you just laid out is correct.
I said production, yeah.
But we said, overall, the way all that matters for this draft class, we said it. Does Josh Simmons work out? Did they find their long-term answer left tackle? And while you can say it might still be a question, if they find that, then I'm not saying that you wouldn't like Gelati and Norman Lott. Ultimately, the biggest thing that matters is them landing their long-term left tackle. If they did that, then I can live with some of the other issues that we might end up having when we look at this long-term. It's too early to know for sure if Gelati's nothing, if Norman Lott's nothing. Way too early in the process. I actually think when Noah Williams has been on the field, I've been impressed. It's just been bizarre that he hasn't been on the field.
It was Cody, I think, that you gave the numbers of, in terms of separation from wide receivers, he was better than Trent McDuffie was at yards of separation, which Trent McDuffie is really, that's his bread and butter. That's what he does. And Noah Williams was better, and he can't. And so they got Shamari Connor all over the place. And it doesn't make any sense. I don't know if it can't be a playbook thing, because otherwise Spags wouldn't have played him at all.
It's simple. Spags doesn't like rookies. And he's never going to play him unless it's a desperation time. You'd think it'd be pretty desperate now, but he's probably screwing some things up that we can't see.
Play on Sunday too, but didn't. It was sparingly, I think. It wasn't noticeable, I guess, if you will. It was more Jalen Watson and Shamari Connor.
The other part, Alex, that we talked about was that you and I also knew that this was a draft for the future, not for this year. We knew that. I mean, we knew that going into it, that this wasn't, oh, they're trying to solve other problems in the draft this season. We knew all those guys. We knew Gelati was behind players. We knew Gelati was behind Aminihu. We knew that we knew who they were behind. And look, they could really use a guy like Omar Norman Lott right now. He would certainly be a big addition to this offensive line, but it wasn't meant to be about this year. I'm just saying they have gotten, admittedly, very little production out of an entire draft class. We're trying to figure out all the ways in which the season goes wrong. It's easy to pinpoint the fact that even if we think the Simmons pick is a hit, and it very well might be, he hasn't been on the field enough. they have not gotten nearly enough active play from the rookie class at all, period. And when you get zero contributions out of a rookie class, that's a tough way to live. Even if you are picking 31 in a draft, you got to get some. And they almost got a full season out of Josh Simmons, but then other stuff came up. And so, you know, you only end up getting a half season instead, and it just kind of throws the whole system off. That's all.
Isn't it, though, real quick, is it wrong to expect the rookies to play more when they're picked in the first three rounds?
Yeah, like, that's common. Common thought, because
it's like you're wasting the first year of their contract.
I think specifically first and second round picks. I expect third round picks a lot of times to be rotational.
Especially if
rotational
guys. If you can visually tell they're the more athletic and better player, that's why it's frustrating.
That is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Up next, we will get to what's trending. We'll talk more about what Andy Reid had to say penalty-wise and a little All-32 right here on Cody and Gold.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.